Oh no, it's global freezing, they said when it was negative 50. Oh, it's global warming, they say in summer. No, it's climate change, whether it's global freezing or global warming, climate problem is always part of life on Earth. Everyone will complain in summer, it's so hot, and in winter, it's so cold, in spring, it's wet, about in fall, beautiful, fall, beautiful. We don't want to be bothered by climate problem, for sure. And we wish to enjoy every bit of the moment. Now, yesterday, did you enjoy your happy Valentine? Were you happy during Valentine? You happy going out in splashy road? Well, if possible, we wish to live in paradise, right? You like to live in paradise? Do you like to live in a paradise? Really, you're not very enthusiastic about paradise, eh? God designed and God designated the moment we can live in paradise. Can you believe it? That would be the moment we are waiting for. Let us seriously reflect on what it declares in Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 and 4. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Well, nobody wants to get sick. It's painful to be in the hospital. It's not because it should be very cozy, right? If you are in the hospital because you are not doing anything. But tell you, if you've been in hospital, you don't like to return if possible. You would not like to stay in the hospital. There are many situations you don't like there. Although some people may want to be in the hospital. I don't know. It's sad when loved one gets sick or loved one leave this world. It's not very good moment. What can we do? Well, Jesus Christ resurrected and he prepared a place for everyone of us in heaven, and certainly when he returns, he will take us into heaven, and we have that hope, confidence that we enter heaven one day. But while we wait for his return, it is wise not to waste away, but make sure that our behavior, our activities, everything we do will be converted as heavenly treasures for ourselves. How can we do that? We need to discover the power of resurrection of Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul declared in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 to 11, "I want to know Christ yet, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead." Apostle Paul said that he wants to participate in the suffering. Suffering is what we do not like to happen. Becoming like him in his death, we do not like that. And yet Apostle Paul wanted to participate in that and somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. That is what we want, to be resurrected. And before that, he said, "Yes, I want to know the power of his resurrection." So what is the resurrection of Christ has to do with participation in his suffering and becoming like him in his death? That Apostle Paul would like to participate. What is it? What is that? What is this power of Christ's resurrection? The power of Christ's resurrection pertains to his victory over sin and death. So we are not controlled by death, sin anymore. We should not be worried about the penalty of sin with his eternal torture in hell. We should not be bothered by the power of sin that is to influence us to commit sin. And we should not be worrying about the presence of sin, meaning when we are glorified, there's no more sin, there's no more crying, there's no more pain. But that happens only when Christ returns. That is when we are freed from the presence of sin. Death is the worst problem of mankind that mankind has not solved yet. If you were to search your heart, what is it? At what age do you want to die? Or at what age do you want to leave this earth? You want to live as 100 years old person, so that when you go back to the Philippines, you will receive 100,000 pesos. You want to live until 90, 70, 60, or 50 at young age? Everyone, if I would ask myself, even if I would like to meet the Lord Jesus now, I don't go there and look for death for myself. That is not. Anyone may not be looking for that unless you are disturbed. Now, eternal death is eternal torture, eternal punishment in hell. That is the penalty of sin. And Christ resurrected and defeated sin and death. If death is the worst problem of mankind, and Christ has already solved that, he already proved that through his resurrection, that death has no power over him, then the Lord Jesus can easily solve problems not greater than death, because the greatest problem of, or the worst problem of mankind is death. Anything except death is lesser problem. And meaning, Christ has defeated the worst problem of mankind, he can easily solve our problem. Do you believe that? By faith, Christ already saved us from eternal death, or the torture, eternal torture, or eternal punishment in hell. And if by faith we believe that, by faith we can explore life in its fullness. The fullness of life, do you know the fullness of life that God had prepared for you? What is it? But most often than rarity, we are distracted by problems in almost all situations. In our family, we have problem. Husband and wife may have problem about snoring. Or in school, we have problem with bullies. Or maybe problem with your studies. At work, you have problem about shift. Or maybe your boss, or maybe even your office mate taking advantage of your kindness, of your goodness. Or maybe customers are just not very pleasant to work with. In the community, in your neighborhood, and even in the church, there's problem that bothers us and instigate us to complain instead of praising God. What is it that you complain about? Our church worship services. Many complain about the time. Complain, oh, it's so early, 9 in the morning, it's early. No, it's not. You go to work at 6 in the morning, you go to church at 9. Which one is very early? 6 or 9? We want to go. Just kidding. You complain about what else? About the color of that church building? Complain that it's green? The chairs are green? Someone came to our home the other day and said, "Did you paint your house?" "Yes." "You like it?" "Not really." "That's good," he said. "Well, it was Kuya Oka and Aldrin who painted it. It's not me, actually. And I like that green of my house. If you go there in our neighborhood, if you see the green, that's my house. See? You can easily identify my house because of the color. But many complain about that. They don't like it. Anyway, we complain. That's part of our humanity. We complain. Complain of anything. But that would be, there will be a time when we enter heaven, there will be no more complaining. Instead, we will be filled with gratitude, with praise, so that night and day we would sing holy, holy, holy to the Lord. Praise God Almighty. We praise Him because we will be filled with gratitude. We will be filled with praise. There will be many things that we can praise God for when we enter heaven. In this world, everyone has complained somehow, and there's no such thing as problem-free kind of life in this world. Children complain. They complain about food. They want dry food. They do not want the sinigang of their mother. Or they do not want the food. They want the fast food. A teenager, what do they complain? They complain that parents are very suffocating. You go home at 10, and they want to come home at 10:30. I don't understand. What is 30 minutes to 10? Anyway, that they want to be later, come later. So if you want them to come later by 30 minutes, say, come home at 9, they will come at 10. How about parents? What do they complain? They complain about children. The children, they do not participate in household chores. And they are entitled as if they own the house. They have cats. They are the homeowners, the cats. They say, cats are homeowners. Home meow nurse. Home meow nurse. They meow meow. The cats meow. They are like cats. Children or teenagers. They are like homeowners. As if they own the house, and they complain a lot. Why is that? Because this world, we always face problem. It's not problem free. But even so, we can still praise God despite the problem that we may experience. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with gladness, joyfulness, and explore the fullness of life in Christ. The Lord Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life, life in its fullness." Other translation says, abundant life. We can still praise and thank God despite problem and persecution. Christ declared that as believers, all disciples, we will always be persecuted somehow. Persecution is a mark of being disciple of Christ. And Apostle Paul wrote in verse 8, let's read this together, in verse 9, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." Apostle Paul and his mission team were persecuted frequently, and the power of God strengthened them during their predicaments. When they have problems, they experience more of the grace of God. And they endured, not despaired. Instead, they persisted in mission. They keep on, keeping on, because the more they keep on, the more they experience persecution, the more they experience the power of God, the more they experience the grace of God. They explore more what God had in store for them. Were they inspired or encouraged by the promises of God? Probably. Apostle Paul testified that in all situations, difficult or simple situation, God's grace is sufficient. Have you experienced that? Have you explored the sufficiency of God's grace? Together, let's internalize what he declares. Apostle Paul testified in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast in all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." In this context, Apostle Paul complained three times about his personal predicament, his personal difficulties, his personal struggle. Have you practically proven the sufficiency of God's grace? Apostle Paul testified that he endured that problem. He called it thorn of flesh. "I have thorn of flesh," he said, "but by God's grace, he overcome it." Did Paul have health issue? They are saying he had health issue. But Apostle Paul did not mention what was that thorn of flesh that he struggled with, or did he struggle with issues of in his mission team? Well, there was one time when he had a disagreement with Barnabas and they part ways. Probably that could be. Issues in the ministry are a reality, because in everything we do, the devil is always watching for opportunity for us to disturb us and to lose our focus on the Lord Jesus. And when we are focused, when we prioritize the Lord Jesus, the more we experience that. But all the more we experience God's grace when we keep on trusting the Lord. It is when we have that difficulty where God's grace is become more apparent in our experiences. We will face ministry concerns and complaints whenever we are devoted to serving the Lord with all our heart. Let's reflect on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 17 to 20. It says, "If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If there were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." Now, have you heard of the story of parts of the body who complained about, grumbled about the mouth? The feet said, "I'm tired of walking. I'm tired of going forward." And the hand says, "I'm tired of doing many things. I am very busy. I'm tired of it." And the eye says, "I'm tired of seeing. I'm tired. I want to sleep. I want to close my eyes." In the ears, they're tired of anything. Every part of the body complained. But this mouth does nothing but to eat and speak and sing and shout and laugh. That's only the mouth could do. But we are working so hard. We are serving so hard. So they agreed and they protested. "Then let's not feed the mouth for him to suffer." And its part of the body feels sickly and weak. What do you think? In the body of Christ, the church is the body of Christ, has every part. Just imagine the feet if the left foot goes to the left and the right foot goes to the right, the right foot goes to the right, how do you like to see someone whose feet is just moving in the right? That's funny, right? It's kind of like, I don't know. But you don't like your left eye to look, be looking at the left, and your right eye looking to the right, right? Or your left eye looking to the right, or your right eye looking to the left, that would be something weird, right? And that is what happens in the church when we do not understand our calling and trying to just do our way on our own instead of participating in a way the Lord called us to do. The feet is designed to move and help the body move forward. And that's very tough. I was in the hospital and observed those older people, older than me. I understand that they were walking so slow, and I was watching them, and I feel very, very bad for them. But after my surgery, it was painful. I cannot walk. I can walk, but the wound in my foot, which was about 3 feet long, wound. Every time I move it, it's breaking and it's painful, and I cannot just walk with ease. Then after I came out of the hospital, my right foot, which was okay, was the one pulling my left foot. And you don't like that idea. The right foot is the one only working, and your left foot is not working. I have relatives who walk like that, and I can imagine how hard their life could be from youth until now. And that is how you can imagine the church when only one leg is working, the other leg is not. You don't like your hand, you clip your one hand and just only one hand would be working, the other hand is not working. You don't like your eyes, that only one is working. You want both eyes to be working, even your both ears. That is the problem in the church. If everyone would not do what he is supposed to do. All believers are part of the church with particular function. Now, if the part of the body complain about the mouth, not to it, everyone protests against the mouth and won't feed the mouth, its part of the body feels sick and weak. The same is true with the church. If we complain against anybody, we complain about particular part of the body of Christ, everyone will feel the pain. If you are part of the body, of course. But if you are not part of the body, you do not feel the pain. That chair cannot feel my pain because it's not part of my body. My clothes, even if I'm wearing them, cannot part the pain in my body because it's not part of my body. But every part of my body feel the pain when I'm in pain. Apostle Paul said that he suffered for the sake of the church, and he gladly testified in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 to 25, I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. When we serve the Lord, if it's our calling, sure we sense that suffering, but we still sense that peaceful gladness in our heart when the Holy Spirit is at work. And we cannot experience that gladness and peace in our heart if the Holy Spirit is not at work in our life. All Christians, we are all significant part of the body of Christ. We are important to the church. Not everyone is called to preach. Not everyone is called to lead. Not everyone is called to teach. But we have been given particular gift for us to serve the Lord. If your calling is to stand at the door and smile, you have great smile, everyone who would come in will feel great because they see you smiling, greeting everyone. If your calling is just to be silent and sing when you are called to sing or play the instrument, then everyone rejoice because you participate in the calling the Lord had prepared for you or designed for you. When by faith we believe in Christ, we become a significant part of the church. But why is it needed then to become member of the church? Why do we need to become member if we have already become member of the church when we believe in Jesus Christ? Why? Why is it that there is organized religion, they say? Why is it that there's local church like the Maples Evangelical Church? What is the benefit? Well, there are privileges and responsibilities of the church members, as is stated in the Constitution and bylaws of the church. And as Christians, we become responsible. To be a member of the church is saying, I want to be a responsible church member or part of the church. Now, in summer, our parking lot, there are people who are coming here, especially those who are movie production. They are calling and saying, can we park our truck there in your parking lot? And every summer there's a shooting of movie here around here in this area, and they saw this area, our parking lot, as convenient for them because it's near and it's wide. And those who are learning to drive, they also come here. Enter without permission and just park and just practice parallel parking, turning right, turning left. They are given instruction by their instructor. And at one time there was this people who came here and practiced parallel parking, but they painted the pavement for parallel parking. So I went and approached them. I told them, you can practice here, you can have that parallel parking, but please do not paint the pavement. Do not paint. Because it's dirty and it confuses the parking spaces. They painted the, and instead of being thankful that they are here to practice driving, the driver or the teacher argued that this church belongs to God. Yeah, I know that. And we are Christians. Yeah. If that is your claim, then that is so. I even attended this church before. Who was the pastor who, when you attended the church? I cannot remember. Meaning, maybe he attended once and did not even meet the pastor. Probably. And then, Because I said, yeah, you can still do what you want, but please do not paint. I think he felt insulted because of that. And he said, oh, let's go. They are not good. Truly, this church belongs to God. But church members, responsible church members, return the tithes of God for operational expenses, paying taxes, paying the bills, and taking care of the building, taking care of the church properties. Even if this church belongs to God, church members are the ones responsible for this church to take care of it. If we do not take care of this church building, church properties, the government will take over. They will use it as they want. Because they say, oh, you are not taking care of your property. You are not mowing the lawn. You are not cutting the grass. That is one of the responsibilities of church members here. So, what is the importance of being a church member? If you are not yet a church member, you can read the constitution and bylaws. Like, for example, you can use this building for your wedding or anything like that, occasions that you can use if you are a church member. But if you are not, then ask the leaders if they will permit you. Being a church member in a local church is an opportunity to practice being responsible Christian. We learn from each other. We encourage one another regularly. And Christians are a significant part of the body of Christ. So seriously pray if it is time for you to join the church membership. Inform our church leaders and to arrange church membership class and interview. And prayerfully discover how you may particularly get involved in church ministry activities. You are not forced to become member until you sense that gladness, I want to be a member, and peace, then you can be church members if you are qualified. There are also qualifications of being church members, but the constitution and bylaws dictates what and who can be an associate member and a regular church member. We can talk about that next time. Now, Apostle Paul exemplified as part of the body of Christ. He was not a regular member of a local church because he did not stay in one local church. Do you know which church Apostle Paul was a member? Did the Bible say that Apostle Paul was a member of a local church? Why is it? Because he was an apostle. An apostle means, comes from Greek word, transformed in English, from Greek word apostolos. Apostolos meaning sent out. Sent out means sent out with a mission, meaning in other terms, Apostle Paul was a missionary. His team, they were mission team. They were missionaries. So, why is it then that they are not members of a local church? Well, because they went out, sent out, preached the gospel of Christ, and started churches. They stayed in a church. The church that they started, do you think they were members of that church? Of course, because they were the ones who started the church. But after establishing that church, they went to another area where the gospel was not heard yet and started another church then. So they become members again of that church. Are they still members of that church? Probably they will still consider that the other church still consider them, like for example the Philippian church or Galatian church, they still consider Apostle Paul as member. But when they went to Corinth, and Corinth also was started by Apostle Paul and his team, they say, oh, you are also a member, you are one of us. Now, Why is it then that we gather as a church when Apostle Paul did not stay in one church? Why is it that we cannot stay in one church? Why do we need to stay in one church, I should say? Because we are not called to be apostles. We are not called to be missionaries. If you are called to be missionaries, you, the Lord would send you from this church to go and start a church somewhere in Asia, in Africa, in Europe, or in Latin America, or somewhere in Canada. Now, are you still a member of the church? According to the church constitution and bylaws, if you are not active within six months, even if you were former church members, you are if you do not signify that you will be returning to this church, you will be automatically delisted from the church membership. How about those who left the church and started another church? Are they still members of the church? They were delisted, removed from the list of members. When they return, if they return, because they leave this church before, when they return, will they still accepted as church members? They will apply for church members so that we will know if they really want to become church members. That should be the right process, right? Because it stated in the constitution and bylaws, if you are not active within 6 months and you do not inform the leadership that you will be returning to the church, you will be delisted, removed from the list of membership. Anyway, as Christians, we always have a problem within the church. And as church members, we also experience some kind of misunderstanding. Even if we are in the church, are, say, doing good, behaving well, there will be some ways when the devil would do something to persecute us. Even if it's not within the church, even the outside church, they will persecute us. They will try to disturb us. There was a time at that area, at the back. I don't know who were there. There were people who came and just painted something they want to paint. Maybe because they were attractive to them, probably because it's almost white, the wall is almost white, and it's nice to vandalize or something. See, there are a lot of things that others would do that. Or the truckers, they would come and park their truck here, and that is not very nice or very good to our pavement. Heavy truckers, trailers can destroy our parking lot. We are not trying to be very unfriendly, but we also need to protect this property that the Lord had given us to protect and be responsible with, right? We think about that. We always carry with us the death of Jesus Christ around our body so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. How is that? Let's read verse 10 of our passage. We always carry around our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. How could that be? When we are persecuted, it's like death. And how is Jesus revealed in our body? That is when we sense the grace of God. That is when we sense the Holy Spirit working in our life. We sense that peace, we sense that joy, the fruit of the Spirit. We sense that patience in us. We sense that self-control. We are not easily provoked. That is self-control. The death of Jesus was the ultimate proof that God loves us, mankind. The death of Christ happened for the penalty of sin will be paid for. The Lord Jesus shed his blood on the cross to wash away our sins. So the death of Christ shows that God loved mankind, everyone. He wants us to enter heaven if possible. When we believe that the Lord took and crucified our sins with Christ, we were saved from eternal torture. So whenever we preach the death of Jesus, we tell about what happened on the cross. We expect persecution. We expect that because it's part of it. We carry the death of Christ. We are persecuted. Persecution, they are instrumental also for us to realize that Christ has transformed us into new person. The former sinful life has gone. The new person in us has come. This is when we sin, when we are persecuted. When you sense that persecution or things that are against you, trying to put you down, pray and ask, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and then try to sense in your heart. Do I sense peace, calmness, tranquility, while others are disturbed? Can I sense that joy to keep on keeping on, not minding what happened to me, not minding the pain of persecution could be? Of course, persecution is terribly undesirable. We don't like that. Yet Christ declares that persecution, this is the mark of true disciples who abide in Him and teach Him, teach about His word, teach about His good news of salvation. Let's read the reminder of the Lord Jesus Christ in John 12, verse 20. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. Remember that. If you are a real Christian, true Christian, you will certainly experience persecution. No Christian can escape persecution. We will always experience that. Christian or not Christian, we will face trouble and struggles. But if you have Christ in your life, if you have the Holy Spirit in your life, the Holy Spirit of Christ in your life, you would sense that joy and that peace, patience, kindness. You will still be good even to those who persecute you. It's not because you want to win them, but it's because the Holy Spirit fill you, produce fruit in you, kindness and goodness. Christ obeyed God the Father even to His death on the cross. And He exemplified that obeying God is difficult, it's because He was tortured, but it is also great adventure that can be converted to eternal torture. This is why the Bible teaches that all glory and praise belong to Christ because He obeyed God even to His death. Meaning, the more we obey God, and the harder, the harsher, the worse we may experience obeying the Lord, the more glory and reward we may experience in heaven. But it is by faith we can believe that and we can imagine that. So when we share the gospel of Christ and we are persecuted, the Lord is reminding us to help, to seek His help. When you sense that, immediately, Lord, pray immediately and say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. That should be the first thing that come to your mind, and let the Holy Spirit help you, enable you, give you wisdom, reveal to you which practical step you need to take next. The Lord ordained persecution as essential sign that we obeyed Him. Are you persecuted because of your faith in the Lord? Now, perhaps you started to obey the Lord. If you are persecuted more often, meaning the more you are obeying the Lord. Christians, we are mandated to go and make disciples and teach obedience to everything that Christ commanded. Remember that. We disciple, but we are to teach them, this is also what you do, this is what I'm doing, this is also what you do. You cannot teach something that you did not do, right? Like for example, if you say, oh, this is how to cook your favorite dish. What is your favorite dish? Like for example, chicken soup, for example. Oh, this is how you cook chicken soup. Did you try doing a cooking trick chicken soup? No, I just heard it from the YouTube. They would not believe you, right? They would not believe you. But you say, yeah, I did it many times. Maybe every occasion I would cook chicken soup or something. Anything like that. They will believe you. But if you are not doing what you are teaching, you are just deceiving yourself. So be sure that when you teach the thing that you do. For example, you want to disciple somebody who would be playing the instrument, the drums, or the guitar. Now, this is how you play the guitar. Play the drums. This is how you play the drum. Have you played the drums before? No, but I know how to play the guitar. No, that's different, right? That's different. Playing the drums and playing the guitar is different. Oh, this is how you play the piano. Have you played the piano before? No, but I play the guitar. That's different, still different. So, make sure when you teach something that you did. So that when they ask you, how do you do it? You can say it by yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Teach something that you have done before. Now, those who leaders who come here and stand here, and lead us in prayers for tithes, giving the tithes and offering. For sure, they did their part in giving the tithes of God, return the tithes of God in their offering. This is why they have confidence to stand here and say, let's give, return the tithes of God in our offerings. But if you stand here, and you are not giving the tithes of God, 10% of the tithes of God, and stand here and say, let's give the tithes of God, you are standing before the Lord. The Lord would say, you are deceiving yourself, child. Experience first so that you will know that it is real. Obeying the Lord is challenging adventure that we can venture into and experience the sufficiency of God's grace. Now, let's learn from what it narrated from the experience of the apostles in Matthew chapter 14, verse 28-33. Let's read. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. And Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, began to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Verse 31. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now, that time it was the Lord Jesus told the apostles to go ahead of them because Jesus went up the mountain and prayed at that time. And then when they were in the middle of the lake in Galilee, there was Jesus walking on the water. That was the situation. And Peter said, I would like to experience that. Oh, that's wonderful. I guess, would you tell me to come into the water? tell me to come to you in the water. He asked the Lord Jesus, and without delay, the Lord Jesus, come. And Peter actually walked on the water. That was wonderful. Can you imagine that? He walked on the water. There was this song back in the Philippines. I don't know if you heard this. Peter, James, and John walking on the water. What? No, it's only Peter who walked on the water, not Peter, James, and John. Only Peter walked on the water. The Bible is very clear that only Peter dared to walk on the water, and he did walk on the water. He actually, but when he saw the wind, how can he saw the wind? How did he see the wind? It says there, but when he saw the wind, I don't know how. Maybe the boat was the waves of the sea, the waves of the sea were splashing, and the wind would just, the movement of the wind going to the left, for example, and they saw there's this huge wave and there's a strong wind. That's why he saw the wind. I don't know if he saw exactly the wind, but that is how I imagine it. And then he was scared. He was scared. He was afraid. And he lost his focus on the Lord Jesus. And he began to sink. When he experienced that coldness of the water, because it was night, the coldness of the water, you know, he is in his coat, in his clothes, so he surely gets drowned if he would sink eventually. And he cried, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And the Lord saved him. We explore much of the power and the grace of God when we get out of our comfortable boats and step into the sea of challenges. Personally, do you want to explore the power of Christ? Are you also scared of the wind of uncertainty? New life in Christ is mysterious and adventurous too. And I've proven much of that. Especially when we went to Asia. The Lord has designed a series of practical challenges that we may face when you are a believer. You say you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there will be challenges. It challenges your thought, will I still continue to attend the Maples Evangelical Church or just stay behind and sleep? It's so cold, it's nice to sleep in my bed. The death of Christ on the cross exemplifies that He cares for our eternal destiny. If the Lord cares for our eternal destiny, if the Lord cares that or wants us to enter heaven and live with Him in His paradise, He also cares for our practical needs so that our practical needs will become practical proof when we testify of the grace of God for us, that we personally experience it. Does the Lord always give practical concern to pray for? Probably, we always have problems. So that you may be, you don't have problem about finances, but you have problem in your work, you have problem in your community. Why is that? So that you will always remember the Lord and ask the Lord for help, because He wants us to experience His grace. He wants us to experience that joy, that peace from the Holy Spirit. Let's read again verse 11 of our passage. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Christ is revealed working in our life, in our body, and we sense it personally whenever we have that problem. We sense that peace. We sense that joy. We sense that kindness and that goodness. You might be wondering, why am I so kind to this difficult person, troublesome person? Why is it that I still want to help this person when this person always caused me trouble? It's because the Holy Spirit Himself is working in you, giving you that kindness, that goodness in your body. And we want that. We want to experience that self-control. Parents, you want self-control. Self-control, not to be angry. It's not patience. It should be self-control. Patience, that is bonus. You have patience, you can wait. Again, if you are thinking like, that's a problem again. Patience. That is not patience. You are not asking for patience. You should be asking for peace. Because patience, peace, they are intertwined. You have that joy, not just patience. They should be together. And you have that control, self-control, so that you will not get angry. It's not patience that you need. You need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when He produces, everything is given. So instead of praying, give me patience. No. Ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience. That would be wonderful. It's wonderful feeling when you can love the person who persecute you. That is wonderful. You have that joy. Even when you see that a difficult person in your class, in your work, when you meet that person, you can have peace. You do not need to like that person, but you can have peace. You can live. Even if they are around you, you can still do your work and not bothered. Apostle Paul and his team, they were always threatened with persecution. Persecution from non-believers and persecution from religious people and persecution from, accordingly, wild animals when they were walking, they were traveling. Because at that time, probably there was not this kind of highways yet that we have these days. Maybe they were just walking on a foot trail, and there are wild animals there, beasts that may cause them problem. But Paul testified that he wanted to participate in the suffering and death of Christ to know the power of Christ's resurrection while he preached the gospel. There must be that wonderful experience that he may not be able to write it in words to describe it, but only words like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. If we define that, all the more expound that, just think about it, how wonderful it could be to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Did Apostle Paul imply that we are always given problem to endure for us to explore the grace of God? No, that's not always the case. The case is we are given problem for us to explore the love of God, what He prepared for us. And you know that in life, if it is easy to get, it's not very delicious or it's not very wonderful, right? The harder to get that dream or something, anything that you want to get, the greater the experience could be. It's like if you are playing with basketball, for example, you are playing against the very best player, and you win the game, you have that great feeling. But if you are playing with older people who cannot even run or cannot even stand, how wonderful could that be? You don't like that kind of experience. You do not even want to think about that. I win the game. Who was your opponent? Oh, the people in the home for the aged. They are in their wheelchair.
Oh, wonderful! You are great!
Who would say that to you? That's not right. Meaning, the Lord allow us to be persecuted, allow us to have that problem for us to explore much of His grace. So that when we experience His sufficient grace, we have that practical proof. When we testify, we tell about the love of Christ for us. This is what I experienced. Maybe you have another experience when you trust the Lord. Concerns and persecutions are always given for us to practice trust, faith in Christ. That Christ always helps us. He always helps us. Every one of us have problems, but challenge should motivate us to explore the power of Christ's resurrection. What is this Christ's resurrection? Why is it that the Lord promised me for eternal life? What is it that He prepared for me in this life as I prepare for eternal life? We always have difficult challenges, even death, when we share the good news of salvation, when we talk about the gospel of salvation, and expect potential believers who listen will live forever. We expect them. When we share the gospel, we share the gospel to our friends, to our relatives. We also expect them that may they accept the gospel one day, and they will live with us forever. Has the Lord tested your faith in Him lately? What testing have you experienced lately in relation to your faith in the Lord? How did you respond? For example, if the most important person in your life gets sick, who is the most important person in your life? Get sick or die. It's not amusing, right? It's not. Let's learn from what happened when the Lord declared in Ezekiel 24:16-18. Son of man, with one blow, I am about to take away from you the delight of your eyes. Yet do not lament or weep or shed any tears. Groan quietly, do not mourn for the dead. Keep your turban fastened and your sandals on your feet. Do not cover your mustache or beard or eat the customary food for mourners. So I spoke to the people in the morning, and in the evening my wife died. The next morning I did as I have been commanded. The wife of Ezekiel was preciously delightful in his eyes. Yet the Lord took her away, instructed Ezekiel, do not lament, do not weep, do not shed any tears. If you do that, when your loved one dies, people would think, oh, he did not even cry for his spouse, for his children, that parent. Oh, he did not even weep for his parents. That is how people would see it. But if you know, if we know that our loved ones will enter heaven when they die, we still mourn inside. We can groan quietly. We do not need to express our sorrow outwardly as in an ordinary mourning, just like Ezekiel did, because we sense also that peace, joy in our heart. Oh, he's in better place now. Especially when your loved one is in a wheelchair for a long, long time, cannot move, cannot do whatever. It's so painful seeing them. But you know that when they die, they will enter heaven. That would be, you will feel that gladness in your heart, not because they die, because you know that they are experiencing better. The bosom of the Lord. It's not easy to hide loneliness when dearest friend die? How much more if loved one dies? Crying and shedding tears, these are ordinary expressions of mourning, but if we are sure that our loved ones, our friends, will enter heaven, we can still feel sad to be separated from them. Yet we look forward to that day, that moment when we rejoice and see each other in heaven again. Someone said, when we've got no more practical things to rely upon, we experience more of God's grace if we trust Him. If you can still solve your problem on your ability, you won't see much of the grace of God. But if you say that I cannot do anything anymore, it's all yours. For example, cannot do anything about my heart disease, heart problem. So Lord, only you can extend my life. Only you can give the best doctor who can do the surgery. Only you can provide wisdom for that doctor who would perform the surgery. If you want me to have extended life, then it's yours. When you come to that point of your life, for sure, you will experience more of God's grace. This is why every time I stand here and touch my chest, touch that scar in my chest, I know I have that praise in my heart. And also to thank you. I always thank the Lord for praying for me too. You are part of that. You prayed for me. And thank you for that. May the Lord continue to shower you with much, much blessing so that you keep on that ministry of praying, not only for your pastor, but for others also. God ordained a series of difficult concerns in that we cannot do anything, so that we should trust Him. We cannot avoid that because the Lord wants us to truly hold on to Him by faith. And when by faith we seek the Lord to provide for practical solutions to our problems, we then practically prove that Christ is active in our life, that the Holy Spirit is active in our life. May we be inspired by Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. How about that? That would be a wonderful day, right? Can you imagine how glorious your body will be in eternity? Maybe some of you are not very appreciative of your height. Like me, I want to be taller. I want to be a basketball player, for example. But that would not be a problem in heaven. Can you imagine that? Be sure you receive the Holy Spirit of Christ in your life to guarantee that you are citizen of heaven. Don't just assume. Do you know if the Holy Spirit of Christ is in your life?